About the Holy Spirit, and specifically the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians 5, our foundational scripture. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, and in the Amplified it says, the work which His presence within accomplishes is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And these are we've discovered these are the 9 characteristic traits of the Holy Spirit. And if you're born of the Spirit, then you have these traits in you too. In John 3:6, it says, what is born of, and this is from the Amplified, what is born of from the flesh is flesh, of the physical is physical, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, do not be surprised or astonished at my telling you, you must be born anew from above. God put an order in place, an established law that, and I repeat this every week so we can still be on the same page because there's new people that come in all the time, but oranges produce oranges. Apples produce apples. Dogs produce dogs. Human beings produce human beings, and the Spirit produces spirit. So you are of the Holy Spirit. You are born of the Spirit, Jesus said. And if you're born of the Spirit, then you have the Spirit's DNA in your spirit. You are born of the Spirit. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So if the Holy Spirit has these 9 character traits in Him, you have inherited those 9 character traits, the fruit of the Spirit on the inside of you. Amen. So we have these 9 character traits in our spirit by the Holy Spirit that has made us born again from Him. We're born of the Spirit. Amen? So these are the things that we've been exploring. So we know that this is in us. We have these 9 character traits on the inside of us. And though our spirit is these 9 character traits, we need to work them out of us to the outside. And it takes time. It takes time watering these traits and beginning to consciously, on purpose, say, I am going to be love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I'm going to be these 9 character traits. I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I'm going to look just like Jesus. I'm going to look just like my Father. I have the Holy Spirit in me that can help draw these things out of me, that I don't have to walk as a natural man. I can walk as a spirit man. Now, we can walk according to the flesh and keep on looking like the rest of the world, or we can look like the regenerated self that we are, put on that regenerated self, which after God looks just like Him in righteousness and true holiness. That's Ephesians 4:24. So that's what God's desire is for us, is to look just like Him on the earth, as Jesus looked just like His Father in the earth. So we're going to get these 9 character traits. We're going to be conscious of them. We're going to learn about them. And we're going to walk in them. It benefits us a great deal when we walk in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. When we walk in these 9 character traits, we benefit a great deal. Also, it benefits everybody around us. We're no longer the town grouch that we once was. Instead, we're a blessing to other people. And when we look different than the rest of the world, then it's a calling card. People go, wow, look, why is it that everybody else is spinning round and round and going crazy over this situation, and you're just walking in peace? Doesn't seem to bother you. Everything seems to be just fine. Why? How is it you're able to have such stability in your life? Because I am these 9 character traits, and I will flow in those things, and the Holy Spirit is there to help me move in these 9 character traits so that I have that stability in my life. And people will be drawn to you Have you ever been drawn to somebody? You look at them and it's like, man, they're always joyful. They're always smiling. They seem to always have peace. Who is this person? And people seem to be drawn to them. Next thing you know, you've got a cluster of people around you. I have met people like that. I remember when I was in high school, there was this girl, what was her name? Tammy, boy. I had it on the tip of my tongue when I went to say it. Now, well, anyway, there was just something about her that was just, she always had a group around her. And what it was, she was always so positive and she was always so smiling. And she was, I mean, she never complained about anything. And everybody wanted to be around her. Why? Because she was so different. Everybody else had a problem and a snag and everybody else is going to have to live with it. But it seemed like she was always joyful, always happy, always, and she just stood out. And that's the way we're supposed to be. But are we not supposed to be lights on a hill? Are we supposed to be that light that doesn't have a bushel over it? Are we not supposed to be the salt of the earth? This is what it looks like. We need to be demonstrating these fruits in our life. Another reason why we're studying the fruit of the Spirit right now, as we're studying on the Holy Spirit, before we get into the gifts of the Spirit, is that we found that if we operate in the fruit of the Spirit and have that established, then when we operate in the gifts of the Spirit, then we'll do it in love, in joy, in peace, in reaching out to other people. We won't be self-motivated to sit here and use the gifts of the Spirit to promote ourselves, to pat ourselves on the back, to make everybody think how super spiritual we are. Instead, we're not thinking about us. We're thinking about others. So when we prophesy, we're going to prophesy with love. We're going to prophesy edifying, not tearing people down. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? I'm telling you, I really believe that it's more important than even in being in the gifts of the Spirit is that we have the fruit of the Spirit flowing in our lives. Because if we do, the gifts will have the right motivation. It's the reason why Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he starts talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Then in 13, he starts talking about love and how the motivation is to be loved. That's a fruit of the Spirit. And then when he establishes that, then he goes in and talks about how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit decently and in order. But if we're not established in the fruit of love, if we're not established in the fruit of the Spirit, period, then the gifts are just not going to manifest or not going to function properly, and we're not going to have the right motivation. So we've got to have established within us the fruit of the Spirit first so that we can flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we talked about love last week, and for those of you that weren't here, you can go to harrisfamily.org, and that's posted in the sermons on the website, and you can get caught up with where we're at now. But this today, we're going to be talking about joy and peace. And for joy and peace, as many times, these are running buddies. A lot of times that you see joy and peace together, working together. Let's go to John 16, 24. John 16, 24. John 16, 24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. It's God's will, first of all, that our joy be full. That's His will, isn't it? So He wants our joy to be full. And it says, this joy comes by intimacy with God. If we're interacting with God, if we're asking and receiving, is that not relationship? So Jesus is saying, if you're having an intimate relationship with God and you're asking and you're receiving and things are flowing back and forth, and then your joy is going to be full. And don't you know that's true? When you've got intimacy with God, you have an assurance with Him, then with that comes a joy. comes a peace in your life. The closer that you're establishing that relationship where you're spending more and more time with Him and you become more confident in Him. We're going to be seeing this as we dig into this thing. The more assured you are that God is right there with you. He's taking care of situations. You can trust Him in your life. And with that comes a joy and a peace in our lives, isn't it? And He's established joy and peace on the inside of us. And the Holy Spirit ministers that to us. And then we have, as we're communing with God, we have confidence in Him. And that joy and peace becomes more real and more real and bubbling up more and more in our lives. So it's a real key that we have that intimacy with God. Because that helps establish the gift or the fruit of the joy and peace in your life. There is a worldly joy, but it's based on circumstances. See, when things are going good, then we have peace and joy. Everything's woohoo. But as soon as things start going south, things start getting bad, things start happening in your life, then our joy and our peace goes, ew. We no longer have the woohoo or hee-hoo. Oh. And that isn't the way God wants us. God wants us firmly established. He wants us to have this supernatural joy and peace that regardless of what circumstances are, we're walking in the joy and the peace. That's when the world goes, wow, look at that over there. He's jumping up and down and he's not moved by the circumstances while the rest of us are going, man, we're going down the tubes. You have a confidence on the inside of you, a joy and a peace on the inside of you that says that God's with me. He's for me, not against me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Didn't we just read that? We've got an assurance and a confidence on the inside of us. And it's coming from the Spirit and not from the flesh. It's not based on circumstances of this world, but it's based on who we are in Christ. And we are joy and we are peace. Amen. There's a stability in that. Then that way you can walk in confidence, because when you can walk in this kind of confidence, now you're walking in faith. When you're walking in faith, you're inviting God into your life and into the circumstance, and now He's able to move on your behalf. We need to keep the joy and peace, don't we? Instead of fear and anxiety and, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Ooh. There's no trust and there's no faith in that, is there? There is a God's joy, a fruit, who we are in the Spirit. There is a joy seeing God work in our life in answered prayer. Why, He said, if you pray and ask, and then you receive, is that not fun? To see God move in your life? There is a joy and peace when you see God moving in your life. But if you're trying to take care of circumstances yourself, you're coming up woefully short. There's not a lot of joy and peace in that, is there? But He's saying, man, when you're asking and you're receiving, your joy will be full. I remember we were praying. It was our house out east, and we were trying to get the house ready for us to sell it and then move up here. And we needed some paint, some interior paint. And we just didn't have the money for it. And so we were like going, God, You know what we need here. We're on assignment to move up there because that's where the church is that we've started. And we want to be up there close to the church. And so we need some paint. And there was a girl there at the college, Shireya. And she worked at Lowe's. And at Lowe's, she worked in the paint department. And I said, you know what? I mean, some of our walls were kind of a sandy color or whatever. And so we said, you know, if we can get anything just even close to that. She goes, well, what I'll do is that a lot of times paint gets mixed. And so they can't sell it. They can't do anything with it. And so they'll just throw it off to the side. And they'll sometimes people will come by and they'll go, for $5 a gallon, you can buy the paint. And people come by and they'll pick out the color and that, and they'll say, well, hey, for $5, that's pretty close to what I want, and they, you know, to paint something, you know. And so she said, I'll call you if something of that color comes along. Well, sure enough, maybe a couple of weeks later, she says, there's 3 gallons of kind of a tan, sandy color. You know, if you want to come down and take a look at it and see if you want to, maybe want to buy it. $15 for 3 gallons of paint. I'm like going, yes. And so we went down there, looked at it, said, that looks pretty close. I mean, that's not bad. So we went ahead and bought the paint, brought it home, and started painting. When it dried, it looked identical to the paint that was on the wall. I mean, you couldn't tell where one started and where the other one ended. That's God. Man. I tell you what, we were, hallelujah, as we were painting, I was full of joy. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I mean, it was so good that we could even go into some of the areas of the house and just do the, just touch it up, and you couldn't tell. It was that good. That's God. Now, yeah, I mean, I understand. I mean, I hope nobody got in trouble for mixing any paint. But we sure were blessed by it, weren't we? Man, God is good. So we got that paint, I mean, a perfect match. I don't know. I mean, we'd have to peel something off the wall in order to say, can you match this? I mean, they had nothing. Oh, man. That was God. I'm still full of joy about that. It's good. Man, he is so good. Philippians 4:4. So answered prayer does make you happy. And I'll tell you what. Now see, that's outside circumstances, but I'll tell you what, when you know that it's God's hand in it, then you're full of joy. Man. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Gentleness is another one of those fruits. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Did you catch that? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I remember we had a hailstorm, and this huge storm came in. I mean, it was like night when it came over us. And the hail pounded the house. It felt like we were in the middle of a roaring freight train, huh? The hail was just pounding our house out east. And we went outside, and I looked at the siding on the house. We had vinyl siding. We walked out there and looked at it, and the hail had just stripped the vinyl siding off of our house. It was just nothing but just plywood. It was all on the ground. It just tore it right off the house. I mean, we could not believe that. And as I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, what are we going to do about this? And I thought, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Down on the inside of me, I didn't want the neighbors to see me. I'm just going, God, somehow, some way you're going to take care of this situation. I'm going to put it in your hand. We had a $1,000 deductible on our insurance, and I went, where are we going to come up with $1,000? We had, I think we had just enough in the bank account to be able to put some regular siding on the side of the house, which is what we did. But I did not have a $1,000 deductible. And I knew the roof still needed to be, there was still a lot of stuff that needed to be fixed on the house. And I just said, God, you're going to have to take care of it. I'm just trusting you. It's something that's out of my hands, and you take care of it. And lo and behold, we had gotten about, by the end of that year, we had gotten our insurance bill. And it was like triple what it normally is. And they said, we called him and said, what, why'd you do that? And he says, well, we know your roof's probably completely destroyed. So we raised your insurance rates. And yeah, thank you. May I have another? And so I called them up, and that's what they explained to me. And they said, but, look at this, but if you'll let us come out and put a new roof on your house and everything, then we can bring the insurance back down. And I said, well, let me think about that. Okay. And they did. They came out, they evaluated our house. Not only did they give us a new roof, but they put new windows all the way around. They gave us a new garage door. And the insurance guy said, I noticed that the gutters here on your house were hardly touched at all. I mean, they look like they're in great shape. So I'll just write in rain gutters, and that'll cover your deductible. That's the favor of God, isn't it? So I didn't even have to come up with a deductible. It was awesome. God is good. He's representing me instead of the insurance company. That's trusting in God. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Woo! Man, God's good, isn't He? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Man, oh man, I just wanted to do a hoedown right there in front. And let's do it. All right, let's go to Romans 14, 17. Romans 14, 17. We have the joy and peace of God on the inside of us, but we need to call upon that. We need to exercise that. We need to water it like it's a seed on the inside of us, to get this manifested on the outside of us. If we don't exercise that who we are in Christ, then it just lays dormant on the inside of us. And it doesn't help us at all. But we have this joy and peace, and we need to glean from that. I know I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, look, I want joy and peace to be manifested in my life. So whenever I come up against a situation or a problem, I give you permission to check me. That when I start getting fearful, when I start going nuts on something, when I start feeling an emotion rising on me, He goes, whoa, 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 whoa. The Holy Spirit will check me and say, hey, which way are you going to go with this? You going to trust, or are you just going to freak out? I'm going to trust. I'm by faith, I'm going to walk in joy. I'm going to walk in this peace, and I thank You, Lord, for Your joy and Your peace. I'm still feeling that going on the inside of me, but I keep going. I have the joy and the peace of the Spirit of God operating on the inside of me. I trust You. You've got a handle on this. You know what's going on. And the more I do it, the more it begins to manifest on the inside of you, that pretty soon you've got joy and you've got peace. And you're able to sleep at night. And you're able to take care of situations. And then watch God open up doors, open up all kinds of avenues. All of a sudden, some check just falls and comes in the mail, or this happens, or that happens, or somebody gives you favor. But the whole time you're sitting here going, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the angels have to just kind of fold their wings. You're not trusting God. You're trying to figure out, now how am I going to do this on my own? And it's like, oh, no. You need to invite God into your situation. And He's given us the joy and the peace to help us have that ability to be just saying, I trust You. And this is genuine. This isn't fake joy. This isn't fake peace. It's real joy and real peace manifesting on the inside of me. And it might take you a half hour of just saying, I have joy, I have peace, I'm trusting You, God. I am not going to let, I will not be troubled. I will not. I refuse to fear. But that 30-minute investment, far better than you spending days and days and days worrying and stewing and looking up the ceiling all night long going, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh my God, oh my God. I have found it's a good investment of time. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not eating and drinking. Did you catch that? But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. People think they can't have joy without booze or marijuana, something to deaden themselves. But we have the Holy Spirit. And we have this joy and peace on the inside of us. It's in the Holy Spirit. So notice that it says, it's not eating and drinking. It's not of this natural plane of existence. It happens in the spirit realm. It's in the spirit that we have this joy and this peace. That's where we need to be gleaning our joy and peace from, don't we? It's in our spirits. And the Holy Spirit is helping us to manifest this in our lives, if we're willing. Look at Romans 15:13. Just the next chapter over. Now may the God of peace, may the God of hope, that's expectation, the definition of hope here is to anticipate, usually with pleasure, expectations or confidence. So we're going to plug that in. Now may the God of expectation and confidence fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in this expectation and confidence by the power of the Holy Spirit. So believing and trusting in God fills you with His joy and with His peace by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not based on circumstances. This is something that's done in the Spirit. There's a joy in God using you. I know that I am. My son had spent a summer out with a friend out east, and we had decided, oh, we're going to go and pick him up and move his stuff. And so I'd take my trailer down there with these people. I'd never even met these people. They were friends of his, a friend of his that he knew in high school, and he wanted to continue to work down there until it was time for him to go in the military. And so he stayed out east working at KFC. And anyway, so we went down there with a trailer to pick up his stuff so we could store it in our garage so he can go on to the Air Force. And when we got down there, here was the... they were coming up with boxes, the mom and the dad and the son and all that kind of thing. And the mother was like, oh, you know, you could tell it was bothering her back and all that kind of stuff. And I says, man, are you okay? And she goes, yeah, my husband's getting on to me about carrying these boxes. And I said, well, can I pray for your back? And she goes, well, who are you to pray for my back? And I said, I don't know. I'm a pastor of a church. She goes, and I went, you're a man of God. All of a sudden, she was just like, man, this is, oh, we got a man of God on our property. He's here. And so about that time, her husband comes up with a box. And she goes, come over here. There's the man of God right here. And we said, well, all right, you know. And so I said, well, we're going to pray for her back. Do you believe God can heal your back? Oh, yeah. I said, all right, so I said, okay, I want you to lay hands on your wife there, and then we're going to pray. And so we prayed, and she goes, my back, it feels totally fine. Wow, this is awesome. Well, then her husband says, well, I've been on a search for God for some time. I've been all over the internet looking for God. I said, oh boy. And he had all kinds of theories and all kinds of things about God. And so I just laid it out to him. I just simple gospel. And I'll tell you what, the whole time that I'm sharing, in the Holy, I could tell the Holy Spirit is moving, He's flowing, He's eating it up. He's just receiving everything you're saying. By the time we got done, he goes, that's the God I've been looking for. And his wife just burst into tears. She's been praying for him for a long time. And so he says, okay, what I got to do? Do I got to repeat after you or whatever? I says, no, I just what I want you to do. I just want you to tell God what you want. You want to have a relationship with Him. You want Him to take your sins. He goes, oh, okay, I can do that. I said, here, son, take my hand. And as soon as he touched my hand, he just bursted out bawling. And he was just so humble before God. And he He received Christ as his Savior. I went down there to move some of my son's stuff, and a woman got healed and a man got born again. All I can say is, as we're driving back up the mountains, I'm going, hallelujah! Whoo, 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 whoo. Man, there is joy and peace when God is moving through you, huh? When you're obedient to God and God moves. Man, that's exciting. That is fun, isn't it? God is good. Man. Go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. There is joy and peace in believing. So good to us. 1 Peter 1, 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation or the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of joy, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The soul is your mind, will, and emotion. Notice that when we operate in the joy and peace of God in the Spirit, it does something to our soul, doesn't it? It brings salvation to our soul. It causes our mind, will, and emotion to line up with our spirit, doesn't it? Is there benefit to just saying, I'm walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh? And the flesh is just going to have to come right up beside. It's just going to have to be obedient. And your mind, will, and emotions then will begin to follow suit. That's why I say that you may be up a situation where you're used to, in the flesh, just wigging out and going, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, my God. Instead, just say, nope, I'm operating in the Spirit, and I'm taking joy and peace in the name of Jesus. I know that right now I've got a stirring on the inside of my mind, will, and emotions are going, rah, rah. But I'm going to take from in my spirit, thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping with this, but I am joyful and I have peace and God's got control of this thing and I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to trust in you. My heart is established, trusting in the Lord. My heart is fixed. Thank you, Lord. I'm standing on that. It might take you a while, but after a while, your mind, will, and emotions, your soulish man will begin to say, start agreeing with you. And you'll start manifesting that. And then you'll feel that genuine joy, that genuine peace that's on the inside of you. But it's got to start in the Spirit. It's got to start with you taking command and saying, no, I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm not allowing the flesh to control me. And I'm telling you the benefits of it. So good. If you're willing. That even in the midst of trial and tribulation, Peter said, you're walking in a peace and in a joy that's unspeakable. I can't even put words to the joy and the peace. And they were being persecuted. I mean, I contemplate what's going on over in ISIS territory overseas. We got brothers and sisters literally losing their heads for the gospel's sake. And what's happening to them, I mean, what was going on in the early church was even far greater, the torture and the stuff that they endured. And yet Peter is saying, you guys have unspeakable peace and joy. It came from the Spirit. It's in the Spirit because it ain't coming from the circumstances. We have this power on the inside of us. We have this as part of our spirit. And it was working for them. It was mastering. It was a salvation of their souls. It was mastering their mind, will, and emotions. They were putting that over. putting that fruit of the Spirit over their soulish and physical. Through trials we can rejoice. You can love without seeing Him. You can rejoice with joy without seeing Jesus. Because it's already in you. Walk in the joy by faith, and feeling comes later. It changes your attitude. And like I said, you're going to have to take command in the Spirit so that your soul can be affected. And like I said, spending 30 minutes doing that can save you weeks maybe of tossing and turning at night and wondering, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh my gosh. It's in there. The joy and peace is in there. Whining and complaining is like the devil handing you a shovel. I'll tell you what, the devil will dig you a little trench and he'll talk you into it. Man, my circumstances stink. Man, things aren't going right. And the devil's going, you got that right. I mean, God's not even for you. He wants you to suffer a little bit here. And besides, your boss doesn't like you either. And you're probably going to lose your job before it's over. And then the devil, after he gets done digging that little trench and you step into it, he goes, he looks at the shovel and goes, here. And he hands you the shovel and he sits there cleaning the dirt out from under his nails. And he just keeps telling you, come on now, you're not doing that well. And you're down there, boy, you got that right. Things stink around here. And I don't like this person and that person. You don't even have to get his nails dirty. You're digging your own hole through griping and complaining and blah, 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 blah. Turn that around. I've got joy. I've got peace. God's for me. You know, I mean, we're going to talk about long suffering. And I mean long suffering. But we allow the devil to hand us a shovel and then we dig ourselves a hole. Who are griping and complaining and, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And, and we need to abandon that and go, nope, nope, I ain't going there. The Holy Spirit puts a check in you and says, no, wait a minute here. You don't want to dig that hole. Cover it over. Devil, get out of here. Because I've got joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. I got joy and peace in my spirit. I am not allowing anything else to manifest in my life. And no matter what people say to me, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what, I've got joy and peace. It's in there. And it's coming out. And you're going to have to take charge. Because we're used to giving into the flesh. We're used to just going, whenever something happens, our knee-jerk reaction is, oh man. We've got to take control. And how we take control of that mind, will, and emotion is by the Spirit. Amen. Are you getting anything out of this? Man, the fruit of the Spirit is powerful if we'll operate in the fruit. Let's go to John 14:26. John 14:26. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, can you hear what He's saying here? He's going, I give you the Holy Spirit. I give you my peace, and now don't you dare let your heart be troubled. And then we let our heart be troubled. And we abandon God's peace. And we do our own thing. And we wonder how come I can't sleep tonight. But Jesus says, so obviously we can take command of not allowing ourselves, our hearts to be troubled. We have to take command of that. If He says we don't do that, then we obviously have something we can do about it, huh? But you can't just not your heart be troubled, but you're going to have to replace it with what? The peace of God. And He gave you that peace when you got born again. See, on that side of the cross, He said, on the other side of the cross, He said, I'm going to give you this peace. We're on this side of the cross, we have that peace. And it's residing on the inside of us. We inherited it from the Holy Spirit. And not only do we have it in our spirit, but the Holy Spirit is helping us walk in it, isn't He? Jesus gave us that peace. He promotes peace. Go to Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3. This is a great verse. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace." It's God's desire to keep us in perfect peace. But He can't do it alone. There's something we have to contribute. He will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him, because he trusts in Him. So when we keep our mind stayed on Him, and we're trusting Him, then His perfect peace resides on the inside of us, doesn't it? That perfect peace is manifested out here. But we're going to have to keep our minds stayed on Him. We're going to have to be trusting in Him. This just isn't an automatic, okay, I got the peace in there, and so there you go. No, we're going to have to be meditating on Him. We're going to have to keep our minds on Him. Not on the circumstances. Not on the things that we're facing. Our minds are stayed on Him, and we're trusting in Him. And in that will come our perfect peace. And I'm telling you, again, when I'm down in the basement and I'm taking charge over this, over my mind, and I'm meditating on Him, and I'm going, no, I got joy and peace. I got this from God. It's in my spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're helping me bring this out. I'm trusting in you. I'm keeping my mind stayed on you. I am not having my mind stayed on the problem and meditating the problem, but I'm meditating on you. When I do that, the peace and the joy of God is manifested. I'm teaching you how to do this. Now, if you're willing to do it, then you're going to benefit from it. But if you don't, then you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? But I believe you're here because you want to drink, don't you? You want to drink. I'm going to share. There was one year a student wrote an email stressing out over their test. And somehow the test got lost or something, and so they didn't get the grade. But listen to the anxiety over a test at the school. I did all three assignments and I got credit for two smaller ones, but one paper I did not get credit for. I did not understand how it got lost. I am very upset and discouraged. I am sending a copy of it attached to this email. I am an honest person and would not make it up. It was turned in on time. Please fix my grade. It is currently an F. I can't live with that. Just a paper. 1,000 years into eternity from now, nobody's going to remember that paper. Oh, it doesn't stop there. It says, thank you, and then says, please respond. I will have sleepless nights until this is fixed. Over a paper. Over a little grade. We need to pick our battles wisely. I mean, if you're turned over for an F on a paper, how are you handling the rest of your life? There's a much bigger fruit to pick much bigger battles to be won. We need to be selective about what we're freaking out on. It's true. I've heard Andrew say, and this is true. I mean, now granted, you can't flunk every test and expect to, you know, get a diploma, but Andrew's heart, if he had his way, he wouldn't even have tests. What he desires is what you get out of that lesson, a life lesson that you can walk in, that your life is better, to the place where then you can minister to other people. That's Andrew's heart for the college. He has said that multiple times. But to be, you know, have the state accredit and, you know, and all this other stuff, he says, we give tests. And anybody who's taken any of my tests, you know that they're pretty easy, huh? Because I have the same heart. I'm not out to trick you. But to just get that much heartburn over a test is just incredible. And as it turned out, the test was like stuck behind another test, and it was found, and they got scored, and hallelujah. And then she was able to sleep and live with it. God, they found it. It was a life-changing incident. Don't let these little things be such a big deal. Do not let your heart be troubled. Tell you what, you know, I mean, if you're having a hard time, it seems like every time you're always getting up on the wrong side of the bed, just push that side up against the wall, and then you'll always get up on the right side. This is not hard. This is easy. Hallelujah. John 16:33. We're going to wrap this thing up. John 16:33. Aren't you glad you can do something about the anxiety that's been taunting you day after day, week after week, month after month? That you have the power within you to sleep at night and have that peace and that joy on the inside of you. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." There was a time when I was in the Air Force that I found my peace in a six-pack of Miller beer every night. And if I didn't have my six-pack, I was crawling the walls. I had to have a six-pack every single night. Well, that's okay, because the buddy of mine that was rooming with me had to have 12 beers a night. And if he didn't, man, we were like, there was no peace in that. There was a pastor of a local church here that he lost his peace with the congregation. He got to the point where the congregation drove him to drink. It's true. That's exactly what he said to us. And it was quite literal. I mean, he'd have to call his sons to come pick him up down in the Springs, you know, at like midnight, because I can't drive home. Can you come and get me? It's the pastor of the church. And so we sat down with them. You know, it finally came out that he was, you know, under the influence of alcohol and everything. And then later on we found out he was having an affair, and there was all kinds of things going on with him. But we sit down with him and says, "Can we help you? Is there something we can do?" We were part of the church there. I mean, he covered it up very, very well, what was going on with him. And he says, "No," he says, "I haven't had peace in years pastoring a church." He says, "I don't like pastoring a church. I ain't never doing it again. This is a bunch of garbage." And I mean, I'm just like, what? I had no idea. He got up there and smiled big and looked, and he was a great teacher too. You never would have known that this was going on the inside of him. He's had marriage problems and all kinds of things. He taught at the college years ago, back in those days. And he was just, and he literally said, "This congregation has driven me to drink." Well, he was attacked quite a bit, though, from the congregation. His daughter had fallen ill, and they were believing for her healing, and it just looked like she just had like a cold. I mean, it wasn't anything major, and then all of a sudden, it got worse. They took her to the hospital, and at the hospital, they found out that she was born with a problem with her heart. Nobody ever knew it until that moment, that she had a problem with her heart, and she died in the hospital. And the praise and worship leader and rose up against him and said, "This is child abuse." And they called the district attorney and tried to have charges drummed up on his own people. Instead of comforting him, was trying to destroy him. So, I mean, there was a lot of things that went on. This happened before we got to the church when that happened. But instead of finding his peace and his joy in the Lord, he found it in a bottle. And started drinking. And he just went downhill from there. I mean, it was just terrible. Because the world brings tribulation. Mind stayed on the world, trusting in the world, it's going to disappoint you. There's people right now, there were people in this church that they were having a hard time finding a job, having a hard time with their situation, and then they got a job in the oil fields up north. So they went up there and they were like, "Woo-hoo, man, we are doing good." Next thing you know, you don't see them around anymore. Like, where'd they go? They don't, you know. I mean, the dad was up there, but the family never came anymore. It was all over. They were putting their trust and everything in the world, in the oil fields. Well, how many know now? They all got laid off. They got disappointed. And now their joy is in the dumpers. Our joy and our peace comes by the Spirit of God in our spirit. Jimmy Swaggart was pacing around in his room. This is back when he was big time. And he was worried about a TV bill. And he was in the middle of the night going, "Oh man, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay this bill? I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh my gosh, what am I going to..." And finally the Spirit of the Lord said, "Hey Jimmy, what are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I've got this bill and I'm trying to figure out how to pay it." And he goes, "Honey boy, why don't you give it to me and go to bed?" And so he did. So he says, "Well, okay." Went to bed and God covered it. And this is how we spend our time, pacing around. But when you start putting your trust in the Lord, then that peace starts coming in your direction. Another example is, I was running an Indigo press. It's a very difficult press to run, a printing press. Man, the thing had so many facets to it that could break and then it'd be down. And I used to be in there and I'd be running a job and all of a sudden I'd get all these warning lights and everything. "Oh no, what am I going to do?" And I would look and look and I'm like going, "Man, it seems like everything's in place. Nothing seems to be broke. What is going on here? Why isn't this press working?" And I'd find myself walking around this printing press going, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I got all these jobs that I got to get run and I don't know what I'm going to do and I can't figure out why this press isn't working." And I'm just going, you know, blah, 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 blah. And finally the Holy Spirit would go, "Stop!" I'd go, "Okay, I'm not accomplishing anything here." So then I start walking around the press praying in tongues. "Help me with this. Show me what's wrong with this press. Give me supernatural insight into this thing because I got to get these jobs off here. I want to be a blessing to this company." I would stop and I'd get a peace that would just come over me. And I'd just start trusting Him. Instead of my ability, it's His ability. Next thing you know, He'd give me a vision of, "Oh, there's a piece of paper up behind this little shield that you could pull off, and it's underneath this sensor that I've never even seen before in the 5 years I've been running." I'm like, "Whoa, look at that." I stuck that little piece of corner of paper on the bulletin board as a testimony that I am not going to spin circles around this press ever again. The God can give me the peace and give me the joy to run this press and give me the supernatural ability to fix it when it needs fixed. And I'm telling you what, I can't tell you multiple times I kept that press running. And that was the press I was working with before I went to work for the college and took over the print shop there. And that poor lady, when the replacement came in to run that press, she was done in 3 months. She was out of business. Because nobody knew how to run the press. You had to run it by the Spirit. That guy wasn't interested in getting saved either. Oh, I'm telling you what. And I would have a peace and a joy when I'd go to work because I'd know that God's going to come through for me one more time. This is going to be so awesome. I was working for, before I got into printing, working for Cobb Plumbing and Heating down in Colorado Springs, biggest mechanical contractor, heating and plumbing company. They go far so far back as they helped build the Air Force Academy. So they've been around a long, long time. And they decided they needed a truck driver to help haul their heavy equipment. And I was working in the warehouse. I knew nothing about driving trucks. I didn't have a CDL license or none of that kind of stuff. And they just asked for a volunteer. Who would like to learn how to drive that truck so we can haul heavy equipment up and down the front range here? And my hand went like this, and I went, "What are you doing? What in the world are you doing?" But I'll tell you what, I am so glad that I raised my hand. Thank you, Jesus, because what I learned by trusting God, he said, now, the mechanic's going to teach you how to drive the truck. So what does he do? I get my permit. He goes, okay, here you go. Here's the keys. You stick it in there. Here's the choke. Here's how you push the button to start it. Here's the gearbox. It was 4x4 gearbox, so it has 16 gears. You'd shift it one, and then you do 4 gears, and then you shift it again, do 4 gears, and then you do... I mean, this is monstrosity of a vehicle. And he says, all right, get out there and drive it. He didn't even sit in the cab with me. I was on my own. So I mean, the whole time I'm driving it through the neighborhoods there on 30th Street, and I'm like... Man, was I trust. And this thing was a monster. It felt so weird. But I'll tell you what. I learned how to trust God. And eventually I had joy and peace driving that dude. I mean, I was ripping up and down the highways with big old front-end loaders and all kinds of stuff, going all the way to Trinidad and running all over the place. And I did it by the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you what. If I gone with my instincts, I'd have cut and run. I would have said, this ain't for me. I would have just went back into my boss and go, nah, here you go. That ain't. But I stuck it out and I says, no, the power of God, I'm going to learn how to drive this truck. See, that's how you accomplish things in your life. That's how you do things that are bigger than you. By going to the mighty Spirit of God and letting Him muster that joy and that peace on the inside of you. So that you can do bigger things that are bigger than you are. And I'll tell you, as a stepping stone for me, because I was used to cutting and running all the time. So when I made it through that, it gave me the courage then to go to something bigger. And I remembered what He did for me on that truck. How He gave me the peace and the joy so that I could withstand and I could take on something bigger than me. And I've looked back and I have these milestones in my life that's allowed me to do bigger and more things that are even tougher and tougher in my life. I wouldn't be here today, I'm convinced, had I not taken the challenge of that truck years ago. Had I not developed that attitude of, oh no, I experience God's joy and peace even in the midst of something that's bigger than me. This is how you get to the big stuff. Andrew Womack didn't start building buildings like that. He started off, and we've been with him, haven't we? Started off with a little tiny hotel down there in Manitou, wondering how in the world he ever going to make each and every payment on that thing. Now he's building this huge college campus today with the same joy and peace and the same confidence that he had back then, trying to muster up a couple of $1,000 a month. Now he's breathing for millions. But he learned it because he learned how to do this down here first. Amen. God's got big plans for you. We need to be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. We need to be walking in the confidence with Him. We need to be learning how to trust Him, standing with Him, knowing that He's right here with us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, I know You've got big things for us in our life. Big things. If You were to reveal them right now, we'd want to cut and run. But Lord, You revealed just enough for us that You know what we can handle. That Lord, when fear begins to rise up, when we start feeling like it's difficult, that we shut that down and say, no, I've got the peace and the joy of God working in my life. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to lean on that joy and that peace that You have already implanted on my spirit. Lord, that I am that joy and that peace. And I pray, wonderful Holy Spirit, thank You for helping me bring it from my spirit up into the salvation of my soul so that my mind and my will and my emotions will line up with what my spirit is saying and what it's doing and what it is, so that I can agree with that in my soulish man, so that I can walk in more confidence. I can walk in earnest expectations in the hope of God to accomplish the things that You have for me in the earth. Thank You, Lord. We need to lean on the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Thank You, Lord. This supernatural fruit on the inside of us. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. You're such a good God to us. You didn't leave us forsaken. You didn't leave us orphans. You didn't leave us behind with no tools, without power. You gave us all of these things. That power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. This reborn, recreated spirit that has the elements of the Holy Spirit invested into it. So that we can walk in this supernatural boldness, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And as we develop this fruit, Lord, we become more powerful and more powerful and more powerful on this earth. We're able to accomplish things that only people would stand off from afar and go, how are they doing that? How is it possible? But we know from assurance that on the inside of us, we've practiced the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And the more we practice the fruit, the more we rely on the Holy Spirit to help us develop this fruit, the more we water it, the more we cultivate it, the stronger we get and the stronger we get until we cannot be defeated. We can only succeed in that which You have called us to as mighty men and women of God in this earth. Thank You for the fruit of the Spirit. Thank You for giving us this as a revelation to us. Lord, we just don't read past Galatians 5, 22 and 23 and just go, oh, isn't that, oh, that, wouldn't that be a nice concept? Wouldn't that be nice if it was real? It is real. Thank You, Lord. And we're taking the fruit of the Spirit seriously. And we're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in our lives on purpose, with a purpose, that we will walk and imitate You in this earth. Look just like You in the earth, powerful children of God, doing and looking like You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for helping us to accomplish these things in our lives, Lord. Thank You for the fruit of the Spirit. We receive that joy and that peace on the inside of us. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. There might be some of you right now that have been struggling with joy and peace in your life. Maybe you've just come here to start going